This is Aspiring Altruists, the show where you'll hear the stories of young professionals in the nonprofit sector working to change the world. We'll dive into their backgrounds, hear about the work they do, and ultimately learn how they got to where they are and how you can do the same. With the nonprofit sector comprising one of the largest U.S. workforces by tackling the world's biggest problems across 9 major categories, you may just hear something that could change your life, and through it, the lives of countless others. Today's show features a guest who has a passion for helping people experiencing homelessness, Nina Alomar. Nina is the volunteer and corporate engagement coordinator at Path Forward VA. She has lived all across the country, gaining a deep appreciation along the way for the realities of the challenges people face that she's now working to take on. She'll share with us more about how that passion grew, about what she's learned along her journey, and more. So, let's dive right in. So, Nina, can you tell the listeners a little bit about the role that you're in and the organization you work for?
Yes, absolutely. So my organization, I'll start with that, is Path Forward, and we are a nonprofit in Arlington County that serves people experiencing homelessness. We offer a continuum of care network of programs. My role is I am the volunteer coordinator, and I coordinate corporate engagements as well. And I also oversee our communications. So I manage our social media assistant, and then I am responsible for our newsletter, our blog, and our website in general, like the information that's on the website.
Sounds like a fair amount of different responsibilities there.
I was going to say, but I will say it is reflective of a nonprofit to kind of have that almost like nebulous shape to your position from as you continue on and as people, other people leave or other people join and other talents are there to cover sort of different holes, your role and position can change.
Yeah, having worked for a small nonprofit, especially, you know, it's a small nonprofit, having worked for one of those myself for several years, I experienced the similar things. I've also seen, you know, we're talking about kind of the work you're doing and yourself here, that you have a passion for providing dignity and resources to people experiencing homelessness. Can you tell us a little bit about where that comes from for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the interest initially stemmed from when I was living in California. I was living in the Los Angeles area, and there are a lot of people who are experiencing homelessness in that area. And there is just a really wide range of sort of reactions to them. And this was also at the same time that my family was living in Hawaii, because my dad's in the military. And they also have a very, they have like concerns about homelessness as well over there. So it's kind of two areas in my life where I saw it. And I saw, like, growing up, you hear a lot about homelessness, but it's very different to sort of experience it, or not experience it, sorry, to witness it a little bit closer and to start doing sort of volunteerism with people experiencing homelessness, and then sort of recognize how easily it can happen to yourself or your friends or the people you love, or just how understandable someone's circumstances are, and that level of empathy that you get once you start interacting with people who frankly tend to have a lot more in common with you than you realize, really kind of reshapes the way you think about any sort of issue. And then when I was living in Florida, I was working with a group that was primarily doing a lot of work with rent freezes or rent supplements for people who lost their jobs due to COVID. And that really sort of, like, before it was like, oh, this could really happen to anyone. That one's like, no, this could really, this is happening to a lot more people, this threat of homelessness, and the fact that this really, really nearly, or first of all, people did become homeless, and that there wasn't a sort of, or in a lot of areas, there wasn't a sort of like something for people to fall back on if all these people lost their jobs. Like, it was just, that was it. But working there to offer support for people who very well could have lost their housing was very, It made me very passionate about the issue at that point, about like, this is something I really want to try and help with. And that is what eventually led me to Path Forward. And I believe that others is sort of mentality, because a lot of people don't know a lot of people who, or they may not even realize that they do know, because there are a fair amount of people who experience homelessness, who go to work, who do go out to like their social clubs, like whether that's a soccer club or anything like that. They have jobs and then they stay at a shelter at the end of the day. And we are very strict about protecting the privacy of our clients. So really no one knows who is staying at the shelter because of that. There's all these stigmas about like, oh, if you're at a shelter, but there are people who work jobs who people may never know are experiencing homelessness.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like you said, you've experienced sort of seeing it firsthand from your different places along the way. And yeah, it is a challenge. It's hard here, especially, it's one of those here in America kind of things, but it's hard to wrestle with the fact that, yeah, it doesn't take much to end up in that kind of situation. And once you're there, like that, it can be a challenge to get the resources you need, can be a challenge just with the stigmas around it, and can be a challenge to work your way to not be in that situation when it's something that perhaps happened, like COVID or something like that. That's not your fault. That's ended you up there. But yeah, definitely good to get that insight into kind of the insider scoop that you have there of some of the challenges that are faced. And like you were saying, the people that can have jobs and end up there anyway, and others cannot even know it. And I know you were also talking about earlier there having been, like you were saying, LA, and then so you went from California to Florida to being here in the DC area now. Can you share, sounded like a little bit, perhaps it was military, but what led to all those moves and maybe some of the key highlights of what you learned along the way?
Yeah, so I was in California for college, is where I did my undergrad. And yeah, my dad was in the military, and we had never lived in California, but because it's such a there are a lot of like big bases, I'd passed through and I'd seen it, and I wanted to try it out for college, and it was a really great experience. That's where I did my undergrad. I met a ton of like incredible people, both like friends and mentors. I was able to just learn immensely about, obviously, the topic of homelessness, which I'm passionate about, but in general, just like about political science, about rhetoric, about writing, about all sorts of things. So that was a really good experience. And while I was there, I did an internship in DC for a semester. And that is when I kind of decided, or hoped at the time, to end up back in the area. I really liked what was going on in the DMV area. I really liked both in terms of career, but also in I have some family that lives in Northern Virginia as well, so I was able to like see where they were at and really kind of appreciate the area. And then because my dad was in the military, I always kind of had this like move around mentality, like after a couple years. So after I finished up everything in California, I ended up in Florida. It was around the same time as the pandemic. That's when I got involved in the grassroots organization. And I did really like the work I was doing there, but it was a very reactive grassroots. So whatever was going on in the time, they were there to offer support. And it was good work that was being done, but I wanted to be done doing something a little bit more proactive, not just like waiting for an issue to occur and then seeing what needs to happen, but seeing an issue and making impact on it as it was happening. So I started Just that was about the time that I was like, okay, let me see about finally going to the DMV area. And I started researching some nonprofits, and Path Forward really stood out to me because of what I had listed before, and just because of a lot of the policies and programs that they had, and the fact that they had such a frankly, they spoke of their clients with so much integrity and respect, and I was really drawn to that. And then, as I learned more through the interview process, I really adored what Pathward was doing. So I got the job and I moved up, and I have been here. That was in August, so that was pretty recent. But I've been here since.
Yeah, and you were kind of talking there about what you were learning through your undergrad experience out there in California. I know that you were on like the speech and debate team. You were involved in Model UN, and you were doing this while studying the speech communication and rhetoric and political science. What led you to studying that and choosing to be involved in those activities as a part of your undergrad career?
Yeah, so I actually went into my undergrad undecided. I did not declare a major. I had
Right.
zero idea what I wanted to do in college at all.
As you would.
Yes. And I went in undecided, and in my, but I had taken some courses in high school that meant that by the time for my second semester, I was already a sophomore. So I had a lot of pressure by that time. You're like, you needed a clear major by now. And I was like, okay,
Right.
let's get it together. And that semester I was taking, it was a GE, and it was like intro to argumentation. And my professor, one of the first 2 weeks, pulled me aside, and she was one of the coaches for the speech and debate team. She was like, you should come to a meeting and check it out. And I was like, okay. Like, at that point, I had like a few friends that I had in the area, but not many. And so I was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea to at least the professor thinks I'll be good at it, and I'll probably meet other people. And so I went to the first meeting, and I really, really liked it. And the team was, because it was the second semester, I was put with like basically the newer people, but we got to watch the more like the upperclassmen and the people who've been doing it for a while debate. And that's really the point where I was like, oh, this can be something really incredible if I like put in the time and I stick with this. And the type of debate that I did specifically was policy style debate. So that is, you get one sort of resolution for the whole year, and you build up, and it's partner debate. So you have somebody that you do your debates with, and you build up a case and a negative for that resolution. And you basically spend the entire year trying to perfect it as much as possible as you debate countless schools from around the country.
Yeah.
And then, oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, it sounds like that hands-on learning that it's amazing how that works. I know, especially yeah, in the college environment where there's a lot of lectures and a lot of classroom settings, but then when you get that interactive learning through working with others that are learning right alongside you through those kinds of activities, it's a whole different feel.
Yeah. And then with Model UN, I did Model Congress when I was in high school, but the team at my school was a very good school. I didn't know that, a very good team for Model UN. They won every fall tournament and then
Ah.
won a lot of awards still in the spring tournament. And so they didn't allow freshmen and sophomore to really join because they had a, and I get that they had a really good track record. So, because I was interested in that actually my very first semester, and then I found that out and I was like, okay. And then debate came and I got really sucked into it, and I kind of forgot about it my junior year. And then my senior year, I had a friend who was going to be joining, and I was like, oh yeah, that was something I was interested in doing. So I decided to join in, and I really do like Model Congress. It's similar to debate in that you become obviously not a complete expert, but sort of like a mini expert on a certain country in a certain topic. So that was a really, really good experience that I enjoyed, and it was a good debate. Definitely helped me out with that because that's a lot of public speaking as well. So that's how I got involved in those two sort of activities, and I ended up declaring the communications rhetoric major that same semester that I joined debate because it just went hand in hand. I love debate. And I was like, okay, most of the coaches were professors for the major, and
Right.
I got along really well. So I was like, okay, we'll do that. And then I ended up taking political philosophy course. I think it was Intro to Political Philosophy as a again to fill a GE. And I really it both went hand in hand with a lot of what debate ended up being for me in terms of like that sort of critical like breakdown of a resolution. And I was like, all right, political science is what I will also be studying. So that was a
Nice.
good mix. Yeah.
Well, I know you've of course shared here a good amount, and it's come through your passion focusing, taking that educational learning, but focusing on the work that you're doing and the cause, the cause area that you're interested in. What's something that you feel that listeners should know about the cause that you're working for? Perhaps if they're considering checking it out themselves or might be interested in it, what sort of a key takeaway in regards to the cause.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you are interested in working for any organization that serves people who are experiencing homelessness, I strongly encourage that you look into more any sort of organizations that focus it not so much on a national level, but on community level. I think that is how you get some of the best work done because you're not everybody experiencing homelessness is the same. And there is a very big sort of impulse to assume that they are because homelessness is such like a traumatic, jarring thing to happen to a person. But they're each of them have gone through different things. Each of them have a reason why they are distrustful of
Right.
perhaps the nonprofit system or the shelter system or any other system. They have a reason why they may be ready immediately. They have like all these different things that have happened in their lives. And unless you are able to work or support, like whether that you're trying to actually be an outreach worker or a caseworker, or you're trying to work more where I work in the development and support those programs are always going to be more successful when you have people who are willing to have the conversations and get to know people, understand why that trust isn't there, and start with building that trust and is sort of not expecting anything in return. It's not non-transactional. It is, hello, we are here. Would you like some food? You don't have to do anything for it, you know?
Right.
And being able to, there are organizations all across the country that do this. So this is not, I love Path Forward for what they do, but there are other organizations all over. And it just takes a little bit of research to
Right.
find them. And if you are interested in it, and especially if you are in or from a community where homelessness is something that is a larger concern. Look into what's going on in your own community and see what organizations are doing that, like outreach, are doing that sort of rehumanizing
Right.
people who are homeless.
Yeah, is the challenge to engage in that way, especially as you were mentioning there, having the focus of serving others and not expecting something in return is not a normal part of our day-to-day lives, I feel like, in terms of normally we're used to exchanging, needing exchange for something, whether that's money or time or whatever it is. But if there were, I'll ask you here, the last question of that I always ask all my guests, which is if there were one thing about life or work or any other areas you want to share with your fellow young adults, what would that one thing be?
I would say this for anybody who does any sort of nonprofits that do deals with anything that's kind of heavy. I strongly encourage finding a third place besides home and work for you to be able to not think about work.
Right.
It is difficult, sometimes seeing how things don't always end the way that you want them to end, and especially in issues surrounding people experiencing homelessness. And I'm countless other nonprofits that work in really hard areas. I can't stress enough how much helpful I'm part of the Women's Soccer League here, and that is something I look forward to greatly because it's a time where I get to play soccer, something that I love. But it's not super competitive, it's a recreational league, so it's mostly fun. And I don't think about anything. I think about playing the sport for 90 minutes, and it is a great way for me to decompress. And I just really think that people who work in these nonprofit spaces with these really these issues that can weigh heavy on you need to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves and we
Right.
are doing what we can to make sure that while the work we do is important, we are still important too, you know?
Right.
So just making sure that you're doing what you can to sort of preserve your, don't burn out, preserve your time and your mental health and everything like that.
Yeah, that's definitely something I know I've experienced myself and heard before from others on the show here is that it's important to do the work that you're doing and of course the mission you're working on, but to remember that the mission you're working on unfortunately kind of never ends and will be there when you get back, but that you need to be able to take care of yourselves and for organizations, their staff need to be well taken care of in order to successfully accomplish the mission because otherwise that's where you experience or see a lot of people that experience burnout, especially in the nonprofit sector, is people focusing so much on the mission that they don't take care of themselves. Well, that's just about all I've got time for, but where, if our guests are interested in hearing more of your story or learning more about the organization you work for, where can they best connect with you?
Yeah, so I am on LinkedIn, Nina Alomar Dash Dilan, and then I'll send you the link for that. And then you're also welcome to email me. I am Nalomar, Nalomar, at pfva.org. So those are both great ways to reach to me. I'm super responsive on my email, and I oversee our social media as associate, and therefore I oversee our LinkedIn, so I'm on there pretty often. So
Gotcha.
you can get a hold of me pretty easily either way.
Great. Well, as always, I will have the links to that, both your email as well as your LinkedIn profile down in the show notes here. But yeah, definitely great to connect. Thanks for taking the time to come on the show, share your stories, give us a bit of an insight into working with those that are in homeless situations. And yeah.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to today's show. Hopefully you learned something new about the work happening in the nonprofit sector and were inspired to get involved. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you're listening from. If you want to learn more about today's guest, how you can contact them, and explore the organization they work for, check out the show notes. That'll do it for this episode. Come back next time to hear from yet another aspiring entrepreneur.